Every Thursday here on ESPN, we're going to throw it back to some of the all-time great college football games, and we start with maybe the best ever, the 06 Rose Bowl. Leinart, Bush, number one USC, Vince Young, number two Texas, BCS championship at stake. It's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app for Throwback Thursday. All right, keep these Rise and Shine videos coming. They've been great. Hashtag Rise and Shine. How are you keeping athletic during all of this? And I want you to see this one. And I've got Neek with me, I'm told. This is 5-year-old Giancarlo doing the no-look dunk. And the more times I watch it, the more impressed I am by it. And for those of you who don't realize what it is an homage to, let's, of course, remember the great Dee Brown when he won the dunk contest. Neek, this is pretty good from this 5-year-old.
Oh, I mean, it's outstanding. The fact that he's 5, I think the most impressive part is the landing. Like, the blindfolded jump, the proprioception that a 5-year-old has at that age should not be able to do that. I'm pretty impressed. We need to keep an eye on this kid.
Yes, there were literally zero chance that I could do that at my age or that I could have done it at any age. So 5-year-old Giancarlo, that is well done. If you don't need to look to dunk, you have a future in the sport. Keep the Rise and Shine videos coming. They are fun. We're here to try and have some fun with you as we get through all of this together as sports fans. We have a very big hour coming your way here. It is time to get up with Tua. He says all systems are go. But there's one thing beyond his control that could cost him 3 weeks from tonight, and we'll tell you exactly what that is. Then, it's too obvious not to happen. There is one spot for Cam that could put him in the Super Bowl discussion. So why does it seem unlikely? We'll talk about it. And then I'm going to double down on what I said yesterday that had everyone on Twitter freaking out. And I'm going to because I'm right. All of that and more in this hour of Get Up, which starts with Get Up and Go. Here we go. The Open Championship in July is expected to be canceled, according to Golf Digest. In a statement this morning, the RNA would not confirm. They say organizers are continuing to work through their options, including the possibility of postponement. So we will see. This came on the same day that Wimbledon was canceled yesterday because of the coronavirus pandemic. It is the first time since World War II that tennis's oldest Grand Slam will not be played. Meanwhile, we have news from baseball. Sources tell our Buster Olney that the one-year suspensions of former Astros manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow will end this year, regardless of whether or not there is a baseball season. Both were punished for their role in the sign-stealing scandal that rocked the sport. Elsewhere, we're waiting on Tiger and Phil. They have been planning a match that includes other players, but the event still needs approval from the PGA Tour before moving forward. Scheduling has been put on hold, of course, because of the coronavirus pandemic. Then we get to news from the NFL as we get up and go, with the NFLPA calling Eric Reed's claim to invalidate the new collective bargaining agreement, quote, completely false, in a letter that was sent to all NFL players, saying the change in language was not significant enough to warrant an investigation or a revote. Other news, more concrete from the NFL. Alden Smith is making a surprising return. He has signed a one-year contract with the Cowboys worth up to $4 million. He's 30 years old. He hasn't played since 2015 because of legal and substance abuse issues. But according to sources, he's in the process of seeking reinstatement, and the Cowboys are looking to give it a try. And then, of course, there is the top story, and that is Tua Tagovailoa continuing his rehab from a broken hip as he tries to prove to teams he is fully healthy ahead of the upcoming NFL draft. Speaking with SportsCenter yesterday, Tua said he feels he could play as a rookie. He is ready to go.
Yeah, I feel as normal as can be. I feel like if I had to go out there and perform same way I did my sophomore year and my junior year, being 100% healthy, I mean, I feel like I'd be able to go out there and do that. I'd say I'm 100% right now. I'm just ready to go and play. it's been 4 months too long.
All right, and if you have watched our show over the last few months, you are well aware that Laura is as plugged into this as anyone. And Laura, I feel like this is a change in the conversation. What should we read into the fact? I feel like for months we've been saying, well, you take Tua and you better be ready for him to sit. What should we read from the fact that he is now definitively saying, I'm ready to play?
Yeah, you know, I think there's still a school of thought that says, Greeny, it might be better for Tua and the team that takes him for him to redshirt, because I think injuries aside, that might be best for any rookie quarterback, right? Like the history tells us that. But I think what's changed is they continue to see how the hip is responding well to any type of athletic activity. And that was really the question mark. They've taken this conservative approach all along with him coming back, doing the rehab. It was arduous. He threw from a seated position for months. And finally, about a month ago, was able to get up and do what you're seeing him do right now. And so I think they wanted to wait and see before they went ahead of themselves saying that he could be ready to play. And that's been the case this entire time. Nobody has wanted to put Tua in a bad situation by saying, oh yeah, he's going to be ready to play too soon. That's just not the way that they want to go about this, because at the end of the day, they are concerned with making sure the long-term health is the most important thing here. And everybody, including the doctors, that's the most important thing. The doctors close to this, the doctors who will be communicating with NFL doctors, are saying that they feel very confident in the fact that he'd be ready to play next season.
Okay, so what we are able to see is the video, and we get to hear from people like you who are plugged into it. But the NFL teams are all going to get one more piece of information before the draft itself. What is that, and why is it so important?
Yeah, that's really important, because it's about 8 days away that we will see Tua get this MRI that was supposed to happen at the Combine rechecks in Indy. Now, of course, that's not going to be possible, so we'll get that MRI, and then those pictures will be sent via a huge Dropbox file to any team that's interested, and most teams will receive this, I would imagine, or any team that asks for it. Basically, these teams will be able to sit there, their doctors will be able to sit there and hold the pictures in their hands of Tua Tagovailoa's MRI. Now, the point about this MRI, he's already been cleared for all this activity. That's already happened. That's in the past. He's good to go there. But they want to see, is there any sort of cartilage buildup in the hip? Is there anything that's happened to the hip since he's been doing all of this activity? And that's what they'll check for. They don't expect there to be any issues because he's responding well so far and has not had soreness, as he mentioned in the interview with SportsCenter. And, you know, that's where this all is kind of going to be stopped off from the standpoint of the medical side of it, Greeny, because this is the last time that the doctors will take a picture of that hip before the draft.
All right, we'll see what we can see. Laura, you stay safe, and we'll check in with you again later. Thank you, as always. And so let me get my guys back. Who have I got here? All right, we got RC and Dominique. We got a lot of mixing and matching working today, and here are my guys. All right, RC, I'm coming to you first. We know what we know about Tua, and you've seen him all through his career. I guess I'm going to ask you this question. How confident are you? Are you confident enough, having seen what you've seen in him, that you would be willing to risk everything it would be risking to take him in the top five picks of the NFL draft?
You know what? It's so difficult, because one person who I think is kind of benefiting from this offseason is Tua Tagovailoa, that he can put out the narrative that he wants to. Hey, I can do all these things. I can go play the same way I did my sophomore and junior year, because they can't really test you. They can't really see. They won't have you right in front of them. This is what I know. If Tua Tagovailoa doesn't hurt his hip, I take him before Joe Burrow. And we all know how I feel about Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow had the greatest college season I've ever seen of any quarterback that's played this game. But I still would take Tua Tagovailoa, number one overall, before Joe Burrow if he doesn't have the hip situation. If I could be sure that he would be 100% at the start of this season and could be my starting quarterback, I would go with him. From the first time we saw this young man, he was excellent. And even with battling through the injuries, having some unfortunate situations happen to him physically, he still excelled. And I believe coming into this year, he was going to be the first quarterback taken. And without going down late in the season, he still would have been. So there's going to be a team, and if they get these pictures and they see no degenerative issues, that's going to say, you know what, in the top five, he's worth it to me.
I want to pin you down on that a little bit if I can, because I feel like there is a little bit of a thought that in some of the biggest games against some of the best teams, Tua wasn't great, that he wasn't great in the SEC championship game 2 years ago against Georgia and got bailed out at the end, that there were other circumstances against top-level competition when he was healthy in which he wasn't great. Is that not a concern to you?
It's not a concern. I mean, you can go back to the Georgia game. I think even more, we go to the national championship versus Clemson. And this was a hobbled Tua Tagovailoa. And if you're going to say to yourself, you know what, we expect him to have to play injured in this manner a lot because of some of the durability issues, then I think those things matter. Now, listen, I watched Justin Herbert up close against Arizona State University this year, and I wasn't necessarily impressed. Are we going to use that to knock him? Because if if you look at the difference in the competition, the difference in health, the health situations of those two people, we've seen bad games. For 9 games of his junior year of Joe Burrow at LSU, he was underwhelming, wasn't even completing over 50% of his passes. And so if you're going to hold the big game things against Tua Tagovailoa, in which most of those situations he was injured as well, then you have to compare them to his peers. And compared to his peers, his total body of work game for game is better than the other two guys you're looking at. So it's really going to come down to how healthy is he, how durable you think he can be, and where you should select him, what you're willing to risk for the higher reward my homeboy Dom was talking about a little bit earlier.
All right, that's fair. So Dominique, let's pick it up with risk. Which would concern you more if you were the person putting your job and your reputation on the line here? The risk of taking him and he gets hurt, or the risk of passing on him and he really is Drew Brees?
Yeah, I think the risk of passing on him would scare me more, especially if we use the number that you just put out at number 5. For the Dolphins, they have 3 first-round picks. I think they definitely should expend it right there on Joe Burrow and not concern themselves with Justin Herbert, because they're not in the same conversation, frankly. No one out there believes that they're comparable talent-wise, and I think it's worth that risk. And the money is significant, but it's not as significant as it once was for that position in the draft. So I think you draft him, and if you can sit him, you do what you can to put him in the best situation. But I absolutely would not want to pass on a guy who a lot of people think could be a Pro Bowler, and they have to watch him for 10, 15 years winning championships and going to the Pro Bowl elsewhere while I'm still scrambling looking for a quarterback.
All right, so he's not the only quarterback with injury concerns who is available right now. There is another one, and you've certainly heard of him. There are not a lot of quarterback openings right now, but Cam Newton is looking for a job, and is there one where he can go become the starter? Let's talk about the Chargers. Tyrod Taylor is their front runner. Head coach Anthony Lynn is saying, quote, the team wouldn't rule anyone out. Here's what he said, quote, we're looking at everybody. I want to turn over every single rock. So, yeah, we're looking at everybody. Cam's a good quarterback. He's done a lot of good things with the Panthers, led them to a Super Bowl. He's had some injuries. If he's healthy, he's going to be a good quarterback for somebody. I would like to add my own 2 cents. If he's healthy, he's going to be a great quarterback for somebody. And I happen to have these numbers very fresh in my mind because Hembo and I just worked up a little essay on Cam Newton that will air next week. Cam Newton, when he was healthy, Dominique, was not a good player. He was a great player. I think sometimes underappreciated how great he was. I think that he feels much more worth a risk right now than someone like Tua, based upon our having seen with our own eyes what he can do in the NFL. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that Tua is a long-term solution. I understand what you're saying, but I think the high reward for Tua is you have a quarterback for 10, 15 years. I mean, Cam Newton, if he returns to his form, you can't expect him to do that for much longer. That's for a team that's ready to make a Super Bowl run right now. I think that Cam Newton fits that mold, and he's very good, and he can succeed in that fashion. But if I have the choice between those two quarterbacks, I think I might go with Tua, just because the expectation of having a fixture at the quarterback position for years to come, as opposed to Cam Newton, who best case scenario is you're going to get Cam Newton for 3, 4, maybe 5 more years.
Let's analyze that statement for a moment. Cam Newton is 30. He'll be 31 when next season begins. Why are we writing him off when these guys are playing into their 38, 39, 43 years of age?
Ryan's right. We got a new greenie out here, because you're the one who's always talking about how there's so many hits that a running back can take and that Cam Newton is that guy. Like, this is unusual, greenie. Who are you? This epidemic has gotten to you in ways that I can't imagine. You know why Cam Newton is not going to be playing while he's 45, because he's Cam Newton and he runs people over. Like, I think he can continue to play the way that he is. But if you think that Cam Newton is going to somehow transform into a pocket passing quarterback, no, and no one wants that. The league is not a pocket passing league anymore. Those quarterbacks are no longer in vogue, and Cam Newton is not going to be able to run people over for 10 more years until he's 40.
All right, then let me get more specific with you, Ryan Clark. The Chargers in particular have a playoff caliber team, and right now they have Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. If you were in their shoes, would you sign Cam Newton?
I would sign Cam Newton, and I understand what Dominique is saying. If you have to take one of the two, if you're thinking long term for the Los Angeles Chargers, but I don't know if Anthony Lynn has long term. What he does have is a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor that's going to play a specific brand of offensive football, and Cam Newton can fit that brand. And we know when Cam Newton is healthy, and he doesn't have to necessarily be what he once was in his MVP season. If he's healthy, if he can move around, if he can make plays, if he can do some of the fascinating things that made us fall in love with him, he is your starting quarterback. And if that's for three, if that's for 4 years, you get high level quarterback play in the league that has now turned into everyone wanting someone similar to Cam Newton. Are there some things he needs to change about his game from a physicality standpoint? Yes, but I've been watching his videos because that's the way we have to tell the world that we're healthy now, the same way Tua Tagovailoa is. And this is a guy who looks like he's moving around well. He's running stadiums. He's running sprints. He's throwing the football. Cam Newton is a guy I want in my building because now he's motivated and he's a guy who seems to be healthy. He can help you win games, especially with some of the offensive talent in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it feels like a risk that someone has a chance to wind up getting a really big reward on. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a lot more to do here. Coming up, the idea that when the NBA returns, teams could play in centralized locations is out there. How would players react to that? I've got one who would not like it, and he will tell you why coming up next. And then with Tom Brady in the conference, the NFC is loaded. I know which team is going to be number one, and I'm going to tell you who it is, and I'm going to be right as we continue this hour of Get Up on ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are back on Get Up, and it is time now for I'm Sorry, What? And for that, I would like to bring in my good friend and NBA analyst, Kendrick Perkins. We're going to talk basketball in a moment, but I have to confirm something that I saw about you on Twitter yesterday. Can you please explain what it was that happened recently in your household involving your family in a very popular video game?
Oh, man, listen, Greeny. Listen, the kids that I have, the kids that are coming up in today's world are raised different than what I was raised. I was told, boy, you better go outside. Perk, you better go outside and don't come back in the house. Today, kids, all they do is play video games. My two sons, they're driving me crazy. I go to the store the other day, Greeny, to go get me a pint of cookies and cream ice cream before I start my diet. And guess what? My card declined. So I called the people. I called my credit card people to find out, hey, what's going on with my credit card? They tell me that I have $16,000 worth of Fortnite charges on my credit card. I went crazy. I came back to the house. I took the game out their room. I wanted to throw it in the swimming pool. I was like, listen, no more video games for the next 2 weeks. I don't care what y'all say. Forget Fortnite. And I had to spend 2 hours on the phone disputing the charge. How about that, Greeny?
I think that is one of my favorite stories I've ever heard. The best part of it is that when you were a kid, your family called you Perk. I think that's the best part of it all. Okay, let's get to the actual business of the basketball part of it here, because with the season postponed indefinitely because of the pandemic, one of the ideas that's out there is when they can come back playing games in centralized locations just to try and get players back on the court. Mark Cuban told us when he was live with me a couple of days ago that he would be in favor of that idea. Here's what he said.
I mean, it sounds great to me, right? And I'll tell you why. America needs sports. We need something to root for. We need something to be excited about. You know, everybody in North Texas wants a reason to have the Mavs back on and to get excited and to cheer together. And, you know, even if there's not any fans, just being able to watch on television and get excited and yell at the TV and high five people again. We just need that. And so I'm all for it. You know, whatever we can make happen, I'm doing it.
I want to make sure it's clear to everyone what we're talking about. This would be playing in centralized cities is what they're trying to do with the Chinese Basketball Association. They're going to bring all of the players to one or two cities, and they're going to have them tested regularly and routinely, and they will try and start playing there. But that means the players are going to be away from their lives and their families for a considerable period of time. It's one thing to do that in the Chinese Basketball Association, where they can just basically tell the players, this is what we're doing. How do you think that would go over, Kendrick Perkins, with NBA players?
Well, listen, Granny, I'm with Mark Cuban. I need basketball like old people need soft shoes. But with that being said, I'm totally against this idea. Like, at this part of time, I have a wife and four kids, and if I were still in the NBA at this part of time, there's no way that I would be leaving my family during this pandemic of this coronavirus. There's no way. You know, they would just, you know, have to find me or whatever. But you cannot ask players to leave their families right now during this, you know, this pandemic that we're dealing with. It just won't happen.
It is really a complicated situation because everyone, I know you guys, well, you're not playing anymore, but all the players, they want to play and they want to finish the season. But that really would be a difficult thing to ask any family person to do at this time. So what do you think they should do? Do you think that no matter what happens and no matter how long it takes, they need to finish this season and play a championship?
Well, listen, right now, Greeny, I think the NBA need to do what they do best, and that's that's lead by example, meaning, you know, set the tone for us social distancing ourselves and making sure that the world is clear of this situation and then moving forward. But listen, Greeny, I'm telling you, I'm all in for, you know, when we get past this situation for the season to resume and the playoffs to, you know, to keep going. I don't care if it have to lead up until, you know, September. But as of right now, our main focus need to be with our families and getting through this trying time.
And then finally, Kendrick, how is that diet going?
Granny, look, it's going pretty good, man. I lost 18 pounds. I'm on no carbs, no sugar. I can't, you know, mess with my Cokes and Dr. Peppers right now, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm getting my workout in. I'm running me a couple of miles every day. Everything's going smooth, Granny. You won't be calling me Big Perk no more. It's going to be Small Perk when I come back into the set.
I can't wait to see you, my man. I can't wait until we can do it again. You be healthy, all right, and we'll see you soon. Thank you very much. Kendrick Perkins is just one of the genuinely great guys. All right, coming up Saturday, noon Eastern, right here on ESPN and the ESPN app, we will have the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2020 announcement show. It's going to be hosted by Reese and Jay Billis and Paul Pierce and Rebecca Lobo. And what a class this is going to be this year. Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Tamika Catchings, and, of course, Kobe Bryant. Should be quite a show. Saturday, noon, on ESPN. All right, coming up, I know Dan Orlovsky will agree. I've got a prediction about the Eagles. Let's see what Nick and RC have to say, as the whole world was yelling at me on Twitter yesterday. But I'm right, and you'll hear why next. Get up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
There may be no games,
no practices,
no high fives,
but we're all still part of a team,
and we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance,
but still checking on each other,
helping the most vulnerable,
and supporting our heroes
that are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused,
but the best parts
are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part to help our team
right now.
We are back on Get Up, and as you are probably aware, NFL team owners voted on Tuesday to officially expand the playoffs for 14 teams starting next season. And while everyone is focusing on how that will allow one more team to get in, to me the most important part of it is that it means that only one team in either conference is going to get a bye wild card weekend. And that brings us to our feature, Plausible Deniability, where I'm going to make a statement that I firmly believe, and I refuse to be held to it at a later time. Although, candidly, I think I'll be held to this one. I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be the number one seed in the NFC. And that is because if you look at the divisions, all the other three are loaded. The NFC West is loaded. The NFC North is loaded. And the NFC South is probably the best division in the entire NFL. The NFC East stinks. There are three new quarterback situations, or three jumbled or questionable quarterback situations, three new head coaches. Meanwhile, the Eagles are the model of stability. They have the best quarterback in the division. In my opinion, they won the division last year, and they've gotten better. The Cowboys were their closest competition last year, and they've gotten worse. So I am going to double down this morning on my belief that the Eagles are going to win the NFC East easily because it is the worst division in the NFL, and they have, in my opinion, the number one track on the number one seed in the NFC. I've got RC and Dominique. What do you guys think? Neek, you first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're not saying that they're going to be the best team. You're saying that they have a terrible division, so they're going to find their way to the number one seed. I think that that's a reasonable take. I got to be honest with you. It's kind of weak. Plausible deniability is a spot where you could take your ambitious takes. I thought you were going to say something like Tampa Bay was going to win the NFC. But I do think that the Eagles have the inside track, but I don't think they're the best team. I would certainly rather be the 49ers in this situation. If the goal is to win the Super Bowl, I understand having that bye. If the Eagles get it, does help you get there. But I have a lot more confidence in the 49ers returning just about everyone except for DeForest Buckner to their team and losing Emmanuel Sanders on the offensive side. I have more confidence in them being able to repeat and get and make a deep run than I do necessarily in the Eagles. If you're saying the Eagles are going to win out the NFC, I think you're also saying that Carson Wentz is going to be the league MVP, which I'm not sure that I believe that.
I wouldn't bet against it, I'll tell you that. And I will say this, you cannot overstate the significance of the bye. Do you know how many teams in the last 7 years have made the Super Bowl without a bye on wild card weekend? Zero. Ryan
All
Clark.
Right, I get it, but that they got the bye because they're the best team. So it's hard to differentiate between the fact that the bye got them there or the fact that they're the best team through the regular season.
No, they're not always the best team. Sometimes they're the team with the worst division. The New England Patriots have been getting byes in the wild card round in part over the years because they've been winning a terrible division and they sort of stockpile wins against bad teams. It's not a criticism. True. It's just the reality of the situation, and it's where I think the Eagles find themselves. RC?
Greeny, listen, this is not a wild take. I see what you did here. You just used logic. You played with some numbers. You're stuck inside your house. You can't get anywhere. And so you're trying to figure out things that you could say. They'd be like, you know what? I know this is crazy, but here's all the facts that make it not crazy. I don't know who you are now, man. Hopefully I get to see you soon, man, and, you know, give you some love and get you back to the Greeny I used to know, because what are you doing? This is the offseason. And just because you think that they're going to have the upper hand on some teams that have some things going on, that doesn't mean they're going to get the number one seed. I don't know if they could beat a San Francisco, who was in a good division last year and ended up being the number one overall seed in the NFC. You still have the New Orleans Saints. And though the South is different, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The South is different. One of those teams could come out, too. And there are other games they have to play outside of the NFC East. I do believe they win a division. I believe they represent the division in the playoffs. But to just go out and say, hey, you're a team that had to fight at the end of the season. You were playing with quarterbacks and wide receivers. All of a sudden, you're going to be so great, I think is a little tough to say. Now, you do pick up Slay. You pick up Roby Coleman, Hargraves on defense. So I believe they'll be a better team than they were last year, but I'm not ready to make them the number one overall seed in NFC.
All right, so since everyone thinks that I am no longer like myself, let's do something that'll make everyone very comfortable. I'm now going to start reading some of Ryan Clark's tweets. Let's roll it.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweets.
I can't even do it with a straight face.
All right. Nothing more fun than when Ryan Clark explains his tweets, except perhaps when I read them first. And so let's put some of these up here and let's see how we do. Okay, here comes the first tweet. Watched Jeff Okuda's POA tape today. Unless some plays were missed, there wasn't a ton of catches on him, and everyone was a combat catch. He is for sure CB1. Going to be an easy choice for the first team that wants a corner. Ryan Clark, explain that tweet.
Well, for everybody out there, POA is not like another snake, like a boa. It's point of attack, just in case. Even when I don't write it with Ebonics, Greeny can't read it. But listen, I was just watching Jeff Okuda's tape, and I've been going through some of these corners and safeties. And, you know, I train guys, and so I hear guys saying, oh, I don't think he's that good. The competition isn't the same. If you watch that tape, every catch is a hard catch. He's able to play press bell. He's long. He's pressing at the line. He tackles. He competes. This is a dude that you're going to get a day one starter when he walks into the door. And so while we're talking about all of these quarterbacks, Jeff Okuda is going to be a name that's called very early. So if we see him on FaceTime, the iPad, or whatever, we're going to see his face early in this draft.
Yeah, I think that the sense is he's going to go three to the Lions if they don't make a move at the quarterback. All right, next tweet. Tom was tired of being a 10 and being treated like a 4. So my guy got these streets to see if the grass was greener. Guess we all get to see now. RC, explain that tweet.
Man, you know, listen, Tom Brady knew he was a 10. You know, when you watch Tom Brady walk into the restaurant and he walks in with his significant other, there's everybody in the restaurant saying, oh, that's Tom Brady. I love him. Well, Bill Belichick was treating him like he met him in high school when he had braces and glasses and he never watched him grow into a swan. So you know what Tom Brady said? Okay, you want to treat me like everybody else? I don't get the respect I deserve as a 10. You ain't buying me Birkin bags. You ain't buying me Louis shoes. I can't get red bottoms. I'm going to go to a place that does. And that's why he left and hit these streets, and he was hot in these streets. Everybody was in his DMs. Everybody was texting him, hey, big head, you up? And as soon as it happened, he got him a team. He got him $25 million a year. He got him some great wide receivers on the outside. Tom was tired of that. Tom was saying, every time you see me around here in this Tom Ford, you are not respecting it. You are going to treat me like the dime that I am, and that's why he left New England.
Boy, I've really missed this. Okay, one more. Straight up, when I find a way to evict the offensive lineman that has taken over my brain, I'm going to be ripped up. As of now, he keeps telling me snacks over abs. Who am I to argue? Ryan, explain that tweet.
Well, you know, Greeny, man, I've just been doing some research since I've been, you know, off on hiatus. And I've just been trying to figure out what cereals are the best. Which make the best post-cereal milk. And you know, right now, Greeny, I'm invested in this research. And there's a fat guy living inside of me, and every morning I wake up, he's screaming, S-O-E, snacks over everything. And I know there's a lot of people trying to find ways to cope with this, and this is my way. I'm gonna eat all the honey buns, I'm gonna eat all the oatmeal pies, all the cinnamon rolls. Obviously, I'm eating all the cereal, I'm running a little low. I'm gonna have to get my wife to go out and grab me some, because this is important. When the season starts, I might not know who the best cornerback is. I may not know who the best safety is, but I'm going to know we got all the good snacks and where all the good cereals are. So on Culture Wednesday, we will be fed in the 6 o'clock meeting. It's not going to be you eating your little bagel sandwich, Greeny, with a knife and a fork. Oh, no, sir. We're going to have bowls of cereal, 2% milk, almond milk. I don't care what type of milk it's going to be. And when it's all over after the show, we're going to have us a coffee and a honey bun. I got the new joints. I'm on all the new snacks, pound cakes, whatever you want. It's snacks over everything. And when this is over, and Damian Woody and I have our snack off, and see who can eat the most snacks in 5 minutes, and I am crowned the king, the little offensive lineman that is living inside my brain will be happy with his hand held high in victory. And that's Explain Your Tweets.
Oh, that was magnificently done. Dominique, just great. A moment of respect, if we would, please.
I mean, it was fantastic. And this is easy. You didn't need to do any research. Cinnamon Toast Crunch over everything. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is for breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack. You can't beat that Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's nothing to argue about. I got another question for you, Ryan, but we'll get to that later. How you getting shape up to the pandemic?
All right, let's take a quick break here. There's nothing I love more than when the producers try to move on from this. Coming up, we saw video of Antonio Brown working out with Lamar Jackson. If the Ravens would even consider AB, we'll tell you whether or not it's a good fit and whether they should consider it. We'll do that after we do this. It's a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one is for Neek. Who was the only player in Ravens history to catch 100 passes in a season? It's a good question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We are back on Get Up. We're about to talk about the Ravens, and so let's bring in a former Raven, Dominique Foxworth, for the answer to this question. Who's the only player in Ravens history to catch 100 passes in a season?
First, that's absurd that there's only been one, but I'm going to guess Derek Mason.
Derek Mason is correct. I got it wrong. I actually would have thought it was Sharp, but Shannon Sharp, but the answer is
Take
Derek
that,
Mason.
Tim Bo. Don't call him Lizzie.
He caught 103 passes in the year 2007. Neek was not on that team, but he was Mason's teammate later on. All right, well done, Dominique Foxworth. Let's talk about a guy who, if he winds up in Baltimore, might catch a lot of passes, and that's free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown, who was working out with Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson and Baltimore wideout Hollywood Brown yesterday. AB posted video of the workout to his Instagram story, and Hollywood posted a photo of the three of them together. You can see the picture there, and they certainly look like they're having a good time and they're working out together. And so it does bring up sort of an interesting possibility. Antonio Brown is a guy who we believe wants to play and is looking for a place to go. We originally thought maybe Tampa. The Buccaneers have completely closed the door on that. So should it be open here? Let me bring Mike Tannenbaum and Ryan Clark into this conversation. RC, I will start with you. If you're the Ravens, are you giving serious consideration to bringing in Antonio Brown?
I think the first thing, if I'm the Ravens, I'm more concerned that they took a picture hugging. I mean, I'm around here giving air high fives in my house. So that's probably the first thing. Secondly, I don't know. I just don't think you bring Antonio Brown into what's going on in Baltimore. I was actually talking to someone from their organization yesterday about some upcoming guys in this draft, and they were saying, he kept saying, you know, this is the only place I've been. I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed. They know how to do it here. They know how to build a program. They have a culture. And I don't think Antonio Brown fits into that culture right now. You have a young quarterback that can be erratic throwing the ball. And we've seen Antonio Brown and the way he starts to behave when he isn't getting his targets or he isn't getting his catches. And I don't necessarily know if that's something you want to bring into your young MVP's career when he's at the precipice or at the point where he can actually ascend to be one of the top tier quarterbacks in this league year after year after year. I think you have a good foundation. Now you look to get a guy in this draft to add on the outside, but bringing Antonio Brown in shouldn't be something that Coach Harbaugh and this team is thinking about right now.
Mike Tannenbaum, what do you think?
I absolutely sign for two reasons. Number one, from a football standpoint, he's the perfect fit. When you go back from 2013 to 2018, he's had more explosive touchdowns than anybody else of 20 yards or more. And when you look at guys like Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews, two good tight ends, he's a great complement to that in terms of being explosive. And then when you talk about off the field, to RC's concern, you have Hollywood Brown and you have Lamar Jackson working out with him every single day. And that's the sort of infrastructure and support you'll need from a teammate standpoint to put him in the best position to be successful. So I think it works on the field, and more importantly, it works off the field.
Can you follow up on that thought? Because you said that in our meeting this morning, and it struck me. I mean, Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown are still very young players. So you're not necessarily talking about guys who are like a Tom Brady we talked about last year, that maybe that's the kind of veteran leadership a team would have. Here he seems to have befriended two younger guys on the team. Take me through that thinking there.
Yeah, so right now what we're missing in football is when the relationships are formed in terms of the off-season program, the OTAs. They're actually doing that down here in South Florida. They're working out every day, and that's when you really form meaningful relationships. And Coach Harbaugh is excellent at putting out problems and creating the correct culture. So I think you bring him in, you have those guys around him that they've already formed these relationships, and you bring him in on a one-year deal. We saw the Alden Smith signing. It's a boomer bust signing, very little downside. And I would structure that contract where I protect Antonio Brown's upside, but if we hit any bump in the road, I would cut him. I would cut him before opening day if necessary, because Lamar Jackson is the future. But in the right structure, Greeny, this could be a very opportunistic contract and a great opportunity for them because, again, his explosiveness is a great complement to what they already have.
Really quick, RC, just as far as what he actually does on the field, do you like the fit with what they're doing, that unique offense in Baltimore?
Hey, man, when you have Antonio Brown, I like the fit offensively on the grass anywhere. He's one of the most dominant receivers of all time, not just of his era, historically. And so, yes, if Antonio Brown is the guy that could get along in your locker room, you absolutely want him on your team. It's why Tom Brady wanted him on the team. But I think so much more goes into having Antonio Brown on your team. And I want to see him play. I miss seeing him out there doing what he does best. But when you have a young guy like Lamar Jackson, then you have a Hollywood Brown, who someone who knows Antonio Brown, who could be influenced by him, I think you have to be very careful about what you're doing to your culture when you're bringing new pieces in.
All right, guys, stay with me here as we continue our day on ESPN. Coming up next, it is First Take. That'll be followed by a two-hour Sports Center, then NFL Live. Sports Center's back at 5 with the PTI guys. Kornheiser and Wilbon are joining the show. And then we'll cap the day with Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt, 11 Eastern. We're here with you all day on ESPN. And as we were just discussing, could AB in Baltimore be a possibility? First Take is coming up in just a few minutes. They'll talk about the moves the Cowboys have been making, all that and more as we continue. First Take is 10 minutes from now, right here on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and of course, First Take is following us in just a few minutes, and one of the topics they'll discuss is the one that we were just discussing. This is a photo posted by Hollywood Brown of himself with his quarterback Lamar Jackson and free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown, who've been working out together, and it does raise the interesting possibility Antonio Brown is looking for a team. Might Baltimore make sense? Let's find out with Stephen A. Smith, who joins us live again just a few minutes away from First Take. Stephen A., what do you think of the idea? Do you like the concept of Antonio Brown to Baltimore?
Hell no. Absolutely not. And we all know why. It's because of his mentality. Let's be very, very clear about something. There's nothing to discuss about Antonio Brown's game. He's all world. One of the greatest receivers we've ever seen in NFL history. There is nothing to debate about his skill set and what a definite big time acquisition it would be for the Baltimore Ravens from a talent perspective. But here's the reality of the situation. When you've got a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's obviously a stud runner as a quarterback, but still is evolving as a passer, can you trust the patience of Antonio Brown? No. And I keep bringing up the issue of trust. When it comes to the Baltimore Ravens, let's look at this. Defensively, this is one of the top three defenses in the National Football League. They were fifth against the rush. They were sixth against the rush, I believe. Fifth against the pass, and you had a situation where they was like fourth in total yards allowed, something along those lines. They had the number one offense in football, the number one running attack in football. They struggled as passers with 27th. Their ranking was 27th. So we understand that Antonio Brown would be an upgrade. Here's the problem. You still have a quarterback that's relatively young, and he could be influenced in a negative fashion, meaning being frustrated. Antonio Brown cannot be trusted. That's the issue with him. This guy, no matter where he's been, he's thrown Mike Tomlin under the bus. He's thrown Big Ben Roethlisberger under the bus. He's thrown Juju Smith-Schuster under the bus. He insulted Mike Mayock, the general manager for the Oakland Raiders. He stood up John Gruden. And when his own agent tried to get him on a conference call with John Gruden, he taped the damn conversation. So much so that Drew Rosenhaus, as I told you the other day, when he decided to let him go, Greeny, what did he do? He said, I got to let the world know because this guy don't know what he'll project to the world because he might be secretly taping me, for crying out loud. This is the Antonio Brown that you're talking about. You cannot have a relatively young squad in a young locker room and bring somebody in there who can't be trusted. The first order of business for Antonio Brown is to prove that he can be trusted. That's the issue right now. You don't mess with him if you're Baltimore.
He's going to have a hard time proving it. I have to let you go, but just quick, do you think Antonio Brown, assuming we have football and all that is normal this year, do you think he plays?
I think it's in grave jeopardy. There's always somebody that'll bring a talent like that on. We understand that. But when it comes to issues of trust, that's where people run away from you. People don't trust Antonio Brown right now. That is his issue.
Yeah, I agree. Stephen A., again, just about 3 minutes away from First Take. Great to see you, my friend. Thank you so much. Let you get ready for that. And I'll finish up with Mike. I'll ask you guys the same question. Dominique, do you believe we talked about the fit in Baltimore? We could talk about the fit in a lot of different places. When it were all said and done, do you think someone takes a shot on him?
I don't think so. I think obviously the fit, he fits everywhere, but I don't think anyone wants to take a chance on him because we still aren't sure if he can even play the start of the season, that there could be a suspension thing.
How about you, RC?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think his time has passed. He had his opportunity with the Patriots. That was the team everyone thought he could make it on, and he couldn't even do it there. And there's been more erratic behavior ever since. And so for me, I don't think a team takes Antonio Brown, and I think he has realized that they're going to play football without me.
There are also significant legal issues that have to be resolved, and the NFL has to make its own decision. The reality is, before he can play, the NFL will have to make a decision on whether he's going to be suspended or not, and that obviously will get taken into account here as well. Let's sort of period, new paragraph, and move on to something much more pleasant to finish with. You know, these have been obviously unusual times and circumstances for all of us, and we are here every single day, the family that is the group that puts together the show every single day, trying to just take your mind off of what's going on here as best we can for 2 hours in the morning. And so we are trying to also bring our families together. So, Neek, I'm told you have a few special guests who might be able to join us here for a moment.
They're taking a break from homeschool. Come on in, guys. My wife is teaching them, and they've been excited about this. I told her there might be a chance. This is my oldest, Avery. This is my second, my son, Declan, and my youngest little girl, Emerson, right here. They are cereal experts. So if they want to get in on the cereal debate, what's your favorite cereal, Amy?
Wait,
I say Emmy. You're Avery. I know. I think. And Declan. Yeah. What's your favorite cereal?
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms? Okay. What about you?
Lucky Charms.
I'm not raising them right because there's only one cereal to eat, and that's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We all know that.
It's
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is it. That's all we eat is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Started a debate in the Foxworth household. But that's the best kind of debate to have. Guys, I love you, and thank you both for being here, and thank all of you for getting up with us. And first and foremost, as every day, we thank all of the first responders and the medical professionals who are keeping us safe and helping us through this extraordinary time. It's something none of us really know exactly how to handle, but we know that you are where we need you desperately, and there's no way in the world we'd be safe without you. We can't thank you enough. And we'll leave you with this one more look at the Foxworth household, which is going to be complicated all day. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take is next.
Yeah, it's not.